You are all fair, O Mary.
You are fair, O Mary.
And the original stain is not in you.
And the original stain is not in you.
You are the glory of Jerusalem.
You are the joy of Israel.
You are the honor of our people.
You are the advocate of sinners.
O Mary.
O Mary.
Virgin most prudent.
Mother most merciful.
Pray for us.
Intercede for us with our Lord Jesus Christ.
In your conception, O Virgin, you were immaculate.
Pray for us to the Father, whose Son you have born.
Let us pray. God, by the immaculate conception of the Virgin, you prepared a worthy dwelling for your Son. We beseech you that as in view of the death of that Son you preserved her from all stain of sin, so you would enable us being made poor by her intercession to come to you. We ask this through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And now in our fourth reflection from the writings of the Venerable Blessed John Duns Scotus, where he speaks of the reasons why this extraordinary holiness could be the Immaculate Conception, preserved from all stain of original sin. Blessed Scotus asks, was the Blessed Virgin conceived in sin? The answer is no. For as St. Augustine writes, when sin is treated, there can be no inclusion of Mary in the discussion. Sinless. And Anselm says it was fitting the Virgin should be resplendent with a purity greater than that which none under God can be conceived. And St. Anselm adds, and none but God can understand. Purity here is to be taken in the sense of pure innocence under God, such as was in Christ. The contrary, however, is commonly asserted on two grounds. First, the dignity of her Son, who as universal Redeemer opened the gates of heaven. But if Blessed Mary had not contracted original sin, she would not have needed the Redeemer, nor would he have opened the door for her, because it was never closed. For it is only closed because of sin, above all, original sin. In respect to this first ground, one can argue from the dignity of her Son qua Redeemer, Reconciler and Mediator, that she did not contract original sin. For a most perfect mediator exercises the most perfect mediation possible in regard to some person for whom he mediates, or his mediation de facto is not perfect. Thus Christ exercised the most perfect act of mediation in regard to some person for whom he was a mediator. In regard to no person did he have a more exalted relationship than to Mary. Such, however, would not have been true had he not preserved her from original sin. The proof is threefold. In terms of God to whom he reconciles, in terms of the evil from which he frees, and in terms of the indebtedness of the person whom he reconciles. First, no one absolutely and perfectly placates anyone about to be offended in any way unless he can avert the offense. For to placate only in view of remitting the offense once committed is not to placate most perfectly. But God does not undergo offense because of some experience in himself, but only because of sin in the soul of a creature. Hence Christ does not placate the Trinity most perfectly for the sin to be contracted by the sons of Adam, if he does not prevent the Trinity from being offended in someone. And if the soul of some child of Adam does not contract such a sin, thus it is possible that the child of Adam not have such a sin. Secondly, a most perfect mediator merits the removal of all punishment from the one whom he reconciles. Original sin, however, is a greater privation than the lack of the vision of God. Hence, if Christ most perfectly reconciles us with God, he merited that this most heavy of punishments be removed from some one person. This would have been his mother. And further, Christ is primarily our Redeemer and Reconciler from original sin rather than actual sin, for the need of the incarnation and suffering of Christ is commonly ascribed to original sin. But he is also commonly assumed to be the perfect mediator of at least one person, namely Mary, whom he preserved from actual sin. Logically, one should assume that he preserved her from original sin as well. Thirdly, a person reconciled is not absolutely indebted to his mediator, unless he receives from that mediator the greatest possible good. But this innocence, namely preservation from the contracted sin, or from the sin to be contracted, is available from the mediator. Thus, no one would be absolutely indebted to Christ as mediator unless preserved from original sin. It is a greater good to be preserved from evil than to fall into this, and afterwards be freed from it. If Christ merited grace and glory for so many souls who for these gifts are indebted to Christ as mediator, why should no soul be his debtor for the gift of his innocence? And why, since the blessed angels are innocent, should there be no human soul in heaven except the human soul of Christ, who is innocent, that is, never in the state of original sin? Once we meditate upon these subtle points, but they are very simple as well as profound, we understand why Mary, the Immaculate, is so important to Jesus and so important to us. He wanted someone who was perfectly redeemed so she might support him. And she wanted him above, he wanted her above all to be immaculate, to support us in becoming members of his body, the Church. That is why it is not true the privilege of Our Lady is something absolutely singular and unique to her. It makes possible our sharing in the fullness of grace and of the gifts of redemption. We praise and invoke you, O Immaculate Conception, Mary, Mother of God, Perpetual Virgin, Holy Queen, assumed into heaven.
We greet you, daughter of the Eternal Father, Mother of the Redeemer, Spouse of the Holy Spirit, Temple of the Most Holy Trinity. We hail you, Immaculate Lady, eternally predestined by God to be the Mother of Mercy, the mediatrix of all graces. In your freedom from all stain of sin, and in your fullness of grace, we contemplate the perfect image and first flowering of the Church as she is to be perfected in the world to come. Therefore, Immaculate Mother of the Church, we now confidently turn to you and ask you to obtain from your holy and beloved Son the favors we request in this novena.
You mention your requests in silence. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, we fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To you do we come, before you we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in your mercy hear and answer us. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to you.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to you.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to you.